any of our shows live, just catch up on Saturday or Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern for this show, Living a Good Life, on StarcomRadioNetwork.com, and at noon for Go Yard right after it. So we have a three-hour block on Saturday and Sunday with our good friend Ed Till on StarcomRadioNetwork.com, which is heard in 50, 60 cities across the United States and several countries. So global it is. So go to our website, BOHMGlobal.com. We got to do a station ID, and then we'll be right back for the second hour of Living the Good Life. All right, I guess I cut off the first couple sentences there. So it is FM 106.1 right here in the Tampa Bay area. And we have two FM stations now, 104.3 FM out of Dade City, and that services the northern part of this Tampa Bay area, and 106.1 FM is the central part here in Pinellas and Tampa. Also, three AM stations, AM 1340, 1360, and 1400. And so there's a lot of places to hear these shows we just told you about. We want you to catch up with us. Again, one of the best ways is to go to our websites to catch them up, which we put them on there, our webmaster does, at the end of each month with titles, what the show was about. And in the meantime, TantalkNetwork.com, podcasts, go to Living the Good Yard, blah, 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 Living the Good Life, or Go Yard. That's what happens when you try to say all those things in one sentence, Betty. This is what's wrong. You know how it is, right?
Yeah, you have that gift, though, to be able to do that. So I applaud you for that gift.
For being able to talk fast and confuse my words, I think it's a wonderful gift, yes. It really is. Cindy,
we all understood you.
You understand. You know, Cindy, you've got a wealth of the word in you, and so does Betty. And I love every single one of our radio team members. All come prepared, ready to talk about what God's saying to their hearts. And, you know, we just let the Holy Spirit flow in these shows. And our goal is to reach as many people as we can with the good news of the gospel that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He has already come. The Messiah has come. We're not waiting around for him. He's already come, and he's coming again. Mm-hmm. And that is the good news of the gospel. And it's just fun sharing it. And Cindy, this is your second show with us, and you're doing a great job. And you seem very at ease. You don't seem upset
Thank you, ma'am.
Or anything. So you seem calm.
You know me. You know me.
I do know you.
I like to talk.
Betty, we had a running joke at Beacon of Hope a few years back when Cindy was part of us for a few years. And on Bible study night, sometimes I'd call on people to pray, you know. And it got to be a point everybody would go, "Don't call on Cindy! Don't call on Cindy!" It's because it would just go on and on and on. Do you remember that, Cindy?
Yep.
Yeah.
I do indeed. I was talking about it yesterday to some friends.
Were you really?
Yeah.
And everybody, seriously, Betty, they would just kind of in one voice go, "Not Cindy. We'll take this." What do you think about that, Betty? A person that nobody wants her to pray at church because she has so much to say.
I think it was time to preach about a change of heart.
Okay.
Because I'm the same way. I noticed that, people have a way of praying different. And everybody prays differently.
Right.
I'm a little drawn out. I'm a little bit longer. I think that I'm not getting my point across. But you know what? No matter how short, no matter how long, God always hears our prayers. And Cindy, I applaud you for your diligence in standing the guard. And just, hey, girl, you just keep on praying the way you pray.
Yeah, boy, she does.
All righty.
And now we got Nan who wants to weigh in right here. Nan,
I want to weigh in on this. And Cindy, I love you. Let me start with Cindy. I love you.
Okay. Because Nan was one that would say, "Cindy, not Cindy."
And we, you never wanted Cindy to pray over a meal.
No. She never got called on for that.
No, never.
Yep. All true. Thank you, Nan, for weighing in. See, so now we have a witness to that whole situation. You know what? One of the great things about this program, and Ed Till, who is the head of the StarCom Radio Network, where our shows are carried on Saturdays and Sundays, I was just talking about, was listening to our show Saturday morning and started texting me about what Megan was saying and last Sunday's show, and just what a blessing this show was to him. And he said, one thing that I like that y'all do is that you try your best to relate this to people out there. And not it's not about putting on a production. It's about relating to where people are. And mm-hmm. and Betty, that is what we do around here, is it not? That is really practical Christian living. Is I told somebody at lunch today, fairly newcomer, and we love her so much. And I said, you know, the ministry that God gave me clear back in Indiana was practical Christian living. That's what we try to do. You want to comment on that, Betty, before we go to this next song?
Well, I think that when we first came to Cornerstone.
Yes, that was my church in Indiana. Oh, yep.
Yep. And when you you preach from the heart, and you tell people the way it is. You don't mince words.
Really? Nan thinks I do.
Nan, you and I need to have a talk. it all boils down to is that the word of God comes forth, and it comes forth with truth and in power. And that's why you don't soft soap it. You don't it applies to today, and that's what people need. People need to know that Jesus is alive.
Amen.
God is not dead.
Yes.
And, I mean, from the minute we stepped in at Cornerstone, we knew we were home because of the truth that came from the pulpit. And, you know, God has given you a gift of being a pastor. There are other things that you are in the kingdom of God, but most of all, you're a pastor, you're a teacher, you're a prophet. I mean, all of those things that you are is because God has given you that blessing to be able to speak the word of God, not soft soap it, but give people the truth so that they can relate it to their lives. You have the compassion of Jesus Christ, the compassion that draws people to Christ. And that's so important in today's world, is that people can relate to you because you relate it to today.
Betty.
And that's what we love about you.
You're so sweet and kind, and you read that off exactly the way I told you to read it, you know, that the prepared script. Of course not. It always embarrasses me when people say things like that. But you know what it is? It is all God in us that is using the talents and the abilities he's given us to reach people. And that was my point initially, but thank you for those kind words. But the point is, our goal is to reach people for the kingdom of God. My Name Is by Matthew West.
My name is regret. I'm pretty sure we have met. Every single day of your life, I'm the whisper inside that won't let you forget. Hello, my name is defeat. I know you recognize me. Just when you think you can win, I drag you right back down again till you've lost all belief. Oh, these are the voices. Oh, these are the lies. And I have believed them for the very last time. Hello, my name is child of the one true king. I've been saved, I've been changed, I have been saved.
Love that song. Woo! Oh, it so fits the life of Peter right here, don't you guys think? Woo! Because Peter, I mean, hello, my name is Regret, right? But then you get to the point of, no, my name's Child of the One True King. And let's talk about Peter. So Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was going back, and it says here, let's look at, just start with verse 40. He came back to his disciples. He found them asleep. It's Peter, James, and John. And John was the one that was sitting beside him at the Last Supper that laid his head on the shoulder or the chest of Jesus and said, which one is it? Talking about who was going to betray him. And verse 40, he came back to his disciples. He found them all asleep. And he said to Peter, it's interesting. This is who he singles out. Doesn't say James or John. Can't you stick it out with me a single hour? Stay alert. Be in prayer so you don't wander into temptation without even knowing you're in danger. There is a part of you, and I love this, and then I want you both to comment. There is a part of you that is eager and ready for anything in God. We all have that part of us, right? Those of us that truly know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, there is an eagerness in us, and it surfaces at not all the time. It surfaces a lot, but he says, but, and this is in verse 41 of Matthew 26, if you're just joining us on Living a Good Life, but there's another part that's as lazy as an old dog sleeping by the fire. Cindy?
Yep.
Yep. So true, isn't it?
It's very true, and well, it's a lot easier to be lazy.
Oh, yeah, it is, sure.
And when things pile up on you and life hits you again and again and again, as it will, it's easy to be lazy. It's easier. It's easier to just, okay, I'm done. You
right.
Know?
Just give up, right?
I think it goes back to, we were talking about the lordship, the kingship. And to me, he's our navigation system.
Mm-hmm.
They tease me that I could get lost in the backyard. Because
That's Nan.
I'm directionally challenged.
So
GPS is usually my friend. It usually takes me where I need to go, but I have to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I get to driving and I'm, you know, praying in tongues or, you know.
Yeah, just get lost, praising God, yeah.
And my GPS says, turn right, and I turn left.
Right.
So we have to pay attention to the navigation system, because it doesn't do us any good to let it play in the background of our lives. We'll miss things, important things. And in life, if you're supposed to turn right, you turn left, that can have some pretty dire consequences sometimes. So I believe we have to concentrate and listen to the navigation system.
We have to.
Jesus.
And it's so interesting here to me, and I love this, that Peter was so human like us. Peter, James, and John had a big day. They planned the meal. They went and got stuff. They prepared the meal. There had been all of that going on. Now they're in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I guess they just weren't that aware of what was about to happen. Talk to us, Betty. Lazy dog by the fire.
Well, I think Jesus was trying to tell them exactly what the word says, is the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. There are days that we feel empowered to do what the Lord wants us to do. We have our armor on. We just feel like, you know, we can do whatever the Lord wants us to do. But then there are those times when we feel like that we're a lazy dog by the fire. It's like I just don't have the power to get up and do what God wants me to do right now. I just want to just lay here and just sulk in my sorrow and feel sorry for myself. And that's where, you know, sometimes our spirit is so strong, but our bodies are just saying, oh, God, I just need some rest. I just need to lay here and just absorb whatever you want me to do. And then there are those times when we are negligent in giving him the time that we need with him. And when we get to that point and you find out that you're running low on energy, or your car, just like your car runs out, you know, car's low on gas, the more you put in it, the more powerful you become.
Right.
And it's just like the Lord so wanted them to stay up with him and pray so that they would not be tempted, so that their spirit would stay strong. But they were tired.
Yeah.
They wanted to sleep. And he is such a kind and gentle and loving person. So understanding. Can't you, just like, can't y'all just stay up and just pray with me just for 1 hour? And they chose to sleep instead. And that's the way we become at times. But I think the Lord understands that we're tired. And that doesn't mean that we're not strong in the spirit, because it gives, you know, the Holy Spirit gives us that umph that we need when we need it. And that's why Cindy Logan's favorite statement is, we've got to be faced up.
Right.
That's what it's going to take.
Well, it's interesting that there's three events here, and that Peter denies Jesus three times. And three is always symbolic of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity, the completeness of God. And we find the second time that he comes back, they're still asleep. And he goes, okay, whatever. He says, my Father, if there is no other way than this, I'm ready. Do it your way. So there's this real surrender moment for Jesus with the Father, even though he was saying up here earlier, what do you want? Up in verse 39, what do you want me to do? He knew already plan A. I think part of him, that human part, was going, is there a plan B maybe we could do? And it wasn't that at all. And he comes back and he finds them sound asleep again, third time. And it says in verse 43, they simply couldn't keep their eyes open. This time he let them sleep on, and he went back a third time to pray, going over the same ground one last time. And I find that fascinating. Even Jesus, because he had taken on humanity, was wanting to make sure he got the instructions totally correct, even though he knew what his purpose was from the foundation of the earth. And so he comes back and he says, are you guys going to sleep all night, make a night of it? Well, my time is up. The Son of Man is about to be handed over to the hands of sinners. Get up. Let's get going. My betrayer is here. The words are barely out of his mouth, verse 47, when Judas, the one from the 12, showed up. And with him a gang from the high priests and religious leaders, and they all had swords and clubs. And the betrayer had worked out a sign with them, the one I kiss, that's the one, sees him. And he went straight to Jesus, greeted him, how are you, Rabbi, and kissed him. Jesus said, friend, why this charade? I like that in the Message Bible. He still was not letting go of him as his friend. He simply had been betrayed by his friend. And a lot of us can relate to that, especially in ministry situations. And I just find it so interesting that this was a struggle in the Garden of Gethsemane. And in other passages, it says that he was sweating blood as he prayed. I mean, his capillaries were bursting, and he was absolutely feeling the travail of about what was about to happen to him in just a few hours. Talk to us about that, Cindy, and then we'll go to Betty.
I think Jesus's humanness is what stands out to me in this. And yet totally guided by his divinity. And that's how we need to
be. Yes, absolutely.
He knows we're human.
Right.
He made us. He, you know, he understands what we've gone through. And so he wants, we have to live in our humanness, but it has to be divinely guided.
Right.
And
yeah.
It's very interesting to me that, like you said, from the foundation of the earth, he knew this was coming.
Right.
And yet, it's like, okay, Dad, are you sure this is the only way?
Exactly, yeah. Right?
It's like, you know, Dad, think about it now.
Yeah.
Run through the options.
Let's go over this again.
Is there any other way? If there's not, I'll do it. But let's think about it.
And, yeah, I know. I like that. I love
it. And I believe, like I said, that back at the beginning of this, where they were at the Last Supper, and how this was the beginning of us being put into Christ.
Yes.
People think about the actual death on the cross as the only thing. His saving of us started back here.
Right.
His sacrifice.
Yes.
Started here. I believe in the garden he was already, and Pastor said this morning, I believe he was already aware, and of course he was aware, but he was already feeling the weight of our sin.
Yes, already. I think so too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Woo, Betty, talk to us. Good stuff, Cindy. Good stuff. Betty?
Well, I've read this over and over and over again over the years, and this is just my opinion. I believe that Jesus, and I agree so wholeheartedly with what Cindy's saying, is that Jesus felt anguish.
Oh, yeah.
He knew what was prophesied in Isaiah about, you know, what would happen to the Messiah on this particular day, in this particular night. He knew what was coming. He knew that he was going to be beaten. He knew what was going to happen. And if you read this over and over and over again, when Jesus sweat and he was bleeding blood, this is a phenomenon that can happen because of the power that was in him, the power that radiated from him, the grace and the love and the mercy, is that he was taking on something that no person had ever done before.
Right.
Is taking on the sins of the world. And it still brings me to tears to be, and I would love to be able to at the table is to be down, sit down with Jesus and say, was it really going through your mind at that time that I was on your mind when you were praying that prayer? And it resonates so deeply within my spirit of when we pray, that we pray with that much love,
right,
and that much forgiveness and that much intensity that we may not bleed like Jesus did at that time, but that when we come up, we know that we have reached the throne. And that's when Jesus was praying, his Father at that point in time was
comforting him.
Yes.
Because mm-hmm. he knew mm-hmm. God was giving his only son, and that he was comforting him at that time. And it's so important, people, that we realize how much Jesus loved us at that point in time. He could have turned his back. He could have walked away. But his heavenly Father said, this is something that has to be done. There yeah. is no more sacrificial yes. lamb.
Right.
You are the mm-hmm. sacrificial
you
lamb.
You are the lamb.
You mm-hmm. are the lamb. And mm-hmm. that's going to be slain. And how much we take that for granted. Just that passage alone, when he was betrayed, is how the disciples felt when he right. was betrayed. How could you do this? But again, it was God's plan.
It was and God's plan.
Jesus knew this. He knew it. He already knew what was going to happen because his Father had prepared him for it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And he calls Judas friend still there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because mm-hmm.
how
Jesus.
How many of us would do that?
That's right. Jesus, friend of sinners, by casting crowns. Wherever you are, dear listener, God loves you this day. Wants you to have an abundant life in him. Listen to these words. Let it stir your heart.
Jesus, friend of sinners, we have strayed so far away. We cut down people in your name, but the sword was never ours to swing. Jesus, friend of sinners, the truth's become so hard to see. The world is on their way to you, but they're tripping over me. Always looking around but never looking up, I'm so double-minded. A plank-eyed saint with dirty hands and a heart divided. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Let our hearts be led by mercy. Help us reach with open hearts and open doors. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours.
Jesus, friend of sinners, the one who's writing in the sand. May the righteous turn away and the stones fall from their hands. Help us to remember we are all the least of these. Let the memory of your mercy bring your people to their knees.
Nobody knows what we're for, only what we're against when we judge the wounded. What if we put down our signs, crossed over the lines and love like you did? Oh, Jesus, sinners, open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Let our hearts be led by mercy. Help us reach with open hearts and open doors. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours.
Forever, see that. You are good. You are good. And your love endures forever.
Jesus, friend of sinners. Jesus loves us. He loves you, dear listener. You may feel like you are a lost cause, that there's not much hope for you. I think Peter probably felt like that himself at this point in our story. But you know what? Jesus died for every one of us. Every one of us. And he loves you, dear listener, so very much. Yes. Nan, you have something for us?
Yes. My son is a friend of sinners. This is certainly so true. He gave his very life upon the cross. He did this because he loves you. Look to my son for all that you need. Certainly, he is right here for you. Give your life to him, and you will see. You will have such peace. This is true. It doesn't matter what you have done in life. He gave his all to redeem you from sin. So, of this wonderful gift will you accept? Of a newfound life you will begin.
Mm, boy, that's an invitation to let God do a new work, isn't it? Thank you, Nan, for that. Whoa, talk to us, Betty. And let's talk about Peter here and Judas, too. I mean, I guess where we are in this passage is with what just happens and Judas betrays him. Talk to us about this. Betty?
I'm here. It's just I'm trying to compose myself. That song is one of my favorites.
Isn't that a great song?
It really is. It's that to be a friend of Jesus is one of the greatest things that a person can embrace. You know, by giving your life to the Lord is life-changing. It seems like that even though we can act cruel and we can act inhumane at times. Those are the times that we need to, you know, fall on our knees and ask the Lord to not be like Judas, to not be fake, so to speak, is to have the heart of Jesus, to be like him, to have the love and the compassion that Jesus had for everyone, including Peter and Judas. And, you know, any time that someone gives you up like he did to Jesus, is that if Jesus can forgive him.
Wow.
how much more should we be able to forgive those who trespass against us? Mm-hmm. And, again, it's an example of true kindness and true compassion to forgive. And, I mean, had it been one of us, we probably would have had hatred and anger and bitterness towards that person. But, again, from that prayer that he prayed in Gethsemane to that point is that any other human would have had a different reaction, but not our Lord Jesus
right.
Christ.
That's exactly right.
He gave, and he's shown us what true forgiveness is like.
And you know, it is based in kindness. He's kind and compassionate to each one of us, every one of our listeners out there. my Facebook post from Thursday a couple days ago was on kindness and how important that is in our lives. And I'm reminded, as you're talking, Betty, of Romans 2:4, and it says it's the kindness of God that brings us to repentance. Because so often we don't want to give up our bad attitudes, our resentments, our, you know, like Judas here, the money he was going to get. Or, you know, of course, he certainly got fame for this, but not the good kind of fame, right? But so often we don't want to give up these earthly things that are attached to our wrongdoing, you know, whatever that might be. And it's his kindness that brings us to repentance, and we realize God loves us so very much, and that's what he wants to communicate to us. And he loved Judas. He loved Peter. He loves us no matter what our shortcomings and our failures are. And Cindy, comment on that before we go to this passage about the angels. I think this is fascinating, but go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Well, a couple thoughts. One is that we all know the absolute rushing feeling of having someone close to us betray us.
Right.
And with Jesus, again, this comes back to his humanness. He had spent basically 3.5 years of his life with these 12 men.
Yes.
And every single one of them, the people that he had spent 3.5 years with, his closest friends, every single one abandoned him.
That's right.
And often the situations in our lives are go back to someone who has crushed us.
I know. Yeah, it's true.
In one way or another.
Yeah.
And so it's just another example of how he can relate. He understands. And then, Pastor, every service, he says, how many of you are thankful that today God is on your side?
And that's good.
I love it. I love it.
That's so good.
It's gotten to the point where we basically shout it with him, because going to the kindness of God.
Yes, yes.
Many people's idea of God is fiery, hateful, judgmental. And unfortunately, Christians have reinforced that.
Yes, we have.
And God is a kind, loving God. Look how many chances he gives us. Look how he cleans up our messes. You know, when we take things into our own hands and we just totally destroy the situation.
Right.
And he could be done with us. You know, there are parents who are just done with their kids.
Right.
Go, you know, and there are situations where in our lives we do have to let go of those people. But the kindness of God, I think, is why would you want to come and be with and follow someone who's mad at you all the time?
Right.
Well, judgmental of you, pointing out every little mistake. You know, that's not God.
No.
That's
not our Father.
And it's, we as Christians need to show with our lives and with our words that's not the God we serve.
Right.
I don't want to serve a God like that.
No.
Yeah. And so I think we have to show and live the kindness of God in front of others.
We do.
We do. To get rid of the idea that has been reinforced for so long that he is mean and
right.
Spiteful and not someone that you would want to give your life to.
But he is so loving. He is so, and it is the kindness of God that brings us to a point where we want to repent. We're here in Matthew 26, and when Jesus is roughed up by these, all the soldiers that have come, one of those with Jesus, we believe it was Peter from another account, pulled his sword, taking a swing at the chief priest's servant, cut off his ear. And I believe in the other passage, it says Jesus, you know, just picked it up and put it back, you know?
Right.
It's, it's crazy, you know? Oh, here, let me just show you who I am. Get a cut off that ear? That's fine. I'm just going to heal you. Okay? Mm-hmm. Instead, Jesus could have said, you know, that's what you deserve for what you're doing right now, you know? But that's not the attitude of Jesus. He never says, okay, I want you to suffer. You know, so many people have been taught that sickness comes from God as a punishment. That is not correct. Betty talked to us about this grace of Jesus that's shown right here in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Well, it was just another example of God's grace, God's forgiveness, God's love, and God's caring for humanity, period. That no matter what goes on, that, you know, if someone takes something from you, and I can't quote it word for word, but, you know, when people wrong you, you're supposed to turn the other cheek.
Right.
When people, if they're, you know, you give them your coat, you give them your best coat, you give them, it shows humanity and it shows humility.
It does.
And that's what Jesus showed to that servant is like, okay, you know, he could have said, go ahead, bleed to death. I don't care.
Right.
Again, the compassion.
Yes.
Welled up within him that, you know, don't be like this world. Be like what I've taught you over these last few years.
Right.
Be compassionate. And then to lay hands on that man that was going to take him to be crucified, what did he do? He healed him instead.
Yeah.
Now, what other person would have done that besides our Lord Jesus Christ?
Well, I think it's
a prime example.
Right, exactly. And Jesus had a chance to stop this situation. Right here in verse 52 of Matthew 26, Jesus says, put your sword back where it belongs. All who use swords are destroyed by swords. Don't you realize, I love this little sentence right here. Don't you realize I am able right now to call to my Father and 12 companies or legions, more if I want them, of fighting angels would be right here, battle ready. And if I did that, how would the scriptures come true that say this is the way it has to be? A legion was 6,000 angels. In other words, he's saying, you know what? I could call 72,000 angels.
Or more
yeah. right now. And stop all of you in your tracks. But he says, no, I'm not going to do that because this is the plan of God. And I am the Son and I submitted to the Father's plan. God, this is what we need in our hearts, people. We need to submit to the plan of God and say, God, if this is the path you want me on, if this is the person you want in my life, if this is the job you want me to take, if this is and this and this and this, and say, God, this is what I want. I want to do your will. Cindy, talk to us. Golly, time's flying. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I love the verse about that he gives us the desires of our heart.
Yes.
Because to me, it's a double meaning. He puts the desires in us. And then he fulfills the desires.
Yes.
So, it's what you were talking about. That's what came to my mind was just how he, again, back to he works everything for our good and his glory.
That's so good. Yes.
And this situation, this can't get much worse than death. I mean, this is death.
Right. You know?
And this is not just dying and, his spirit gets to go to heaven.
Oh, no.
That's not. He knows that after he suffers the physical torture, it's torture.
Right, you know, it's torture.
They tortured him. After he goes through this physical torture, emotional torture of having everybody abandon him, then he gets to go fight the devil.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
So his death is not an end to this battle that he's in, the war that he's in for us, for our souls, our spirits. You know, wow, the fact that he is this calm and this forgiving in the face of what he's going to go through is amazing. And so our the things that we deal with here on earth, most of us are not in this kind of battle.
Right.
It seems like it, but most of us are not going to be tortured.
Right.
You know, some of us are fighting death battles. You know, some there are medical conditions, but he's a savior that has dealt with everything we've ever dealt with.
Right.
He's felt it. He's had it on. And the fact that our sin, all of our sin was put upon him.
All of it, yeah.
He can empathize with absolutely everything we are going through. And I want my God and my relationship to be where the rubber meets the road.
Sure, yes.
If it doesn't help me in my daily life, what good is it?
Right.
And I think that this just brings Jesus' humanity and
yeah.
his divinity into focus in such a magnificent way.
And
with something as simple as putting an ear back on.
Right, exactly. Right there, it does. And at the end of 54, verse 54, he says, yeah, I could do this. I could call these angels down. But if I did that, how would the scriptures come true that say this is the way it has to be? So in other words, Jesus was surrendering to the will and the desire of the Father, who knew that his Son had to go to the cross for all of us so that we could be free, so we could be saved, so we could be healed. Oh, I got to play this song. But Betty, give me a quick statement here before I go to this song about what we've been talking about right here, about the importance of surrendering to the will of the Father in our lives.
Well, it's giving up control.
It is.
Because we think that we're in control of our lives. And we can go our own way, but we can also do God's way.
Yeah.
I myself would rather go God's way because the road is a lot smoother.
Right.
There's a lot less ups and downs. And I know that when I'm on the path that God wants me to be on, is that he's with me. And what greater joy, what greater comfort is knowing that
Amen.
God is with me. God is with me.
You know, I totally agree. Dear listeners, you know, this has been an intense show, but it's, of course, very anointed show, and talking about us giving up our need to do it our way and to allow God to really fulfill his plan for us and his purpose for our lives. The song, I've debated which song to end with today, but the one that I've just settled on in the last few minutes is Here's My Heart, Lord, and it's on the Casting Crowns album. And I would encourage every single one of us, as this is playing, to do something with your relationship with God. You know, put a stake in the ground today. Say, here it is, Lord. I want to be all you want me to be. And we're going to talk about that briefly on the other side of this song.
We don't have to come to God like somebody else. We come to him like we are. And a lot of times that means that I start my prayer time with, God, just show me my heart. Show me where I am. God, show me truth about myself so I know how to follow you. Sing this prayer with us.
Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true.
Sing that again. Here's my heart.
Here's my heart, Lord.
Can you pray that to him?
Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord.
Speak truth, Lord.
Speak what is true.
I am free.
Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true.
'Cause I am found, I am yours, I am loved, I'm made pure, I have life, I can breathe, I am healed, I am free.
'Cause you are strong, you are sure. Our life, you endure, you are good, always true, you are life, breaking through. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak
what a great song. This goes on and on. We want to remind each of us of the importance of saying to God, here's my heart. I want to be what you want me to be. I want to react the way you want me to react in my daily life. I want to live the way you want me to live. I want to be so conscious of your presence in my life that I am actually walking in this world the way you would have me walk. I'm talking, I'm responding the way you would have me respond. That I am your light in a dark world. That I am the salt. That I am doing all the things that you want me to be for people's lives. So, Lord, we just thank you right now that as we get so serious about you, as we give you our hearts one more time, that you actually do a fresh work in us as only you can do. Here's our hearts, Lord. If there's any of you out there right now that are not sure that you belong to Jesus, that he lives in you, that he is your Savior and you are his child, you agree with what the Word of God says in Romans 10, 9, and 10, that if we confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if you invite him into your heart and if you ask him to forgive you for things you've said or done in your past that were not pleasing to him, if you make that kind of a declaration and a decision, yes, Jesus will enter your heart. He will live with you. Here's my heart, Lord. I want you to have it. That's our prayer today. And so, Lord, we ask your blessing on every listener that listens live today or that will listen in the future or years to come. The Lord, that this moment in time will be the moment when they draw close to you. And then we know your scripture says you will draw close to us. So, Lord, we give you the glory and the praise for all those who are touched this day by your word whenever this appears in their life, this show. And we give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Talk to us, Betty.
Wow. You know, there's nothing greater than serving the risen Lord. There is a song that says, you know, give me your eyes so I can see. Give me your heart so I can feel. Give me your hands. Let us be an extension of Jesus Christ in this coming week and be able to show God's grace and God's mercy and God's love through our actions. Let us show the world just exactly what God has done for us. Let us be a living and walking testimony of Amen. What God has done,
yes.
Where God has brought us from and where we're going to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the most wonderful thing is to remember is that God is alive.
Amen.
He is not dead. He is coming back again. And what greater joy is to know is that when we stand before him, he looks at us and he says, great, well done, my faithful servant.
Yes, amen. That's the goal.
That's what I want to hear. I want to hear
that.
That's
exactly right.
And that's what I want to be. And I just pray that for all of our listeners and for all of you today, is that you are a blessing to God and that he loves you more than anything else in this world because he gave his son for you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Betty. Thank you for being on today. Betty Thomas, Connersville, Indiana. We love you so very much. And remember this radio team for a long time now. Cindy Henderson, you got about 90 seconds here. Man, this time, this show has just flown by. So wrap up what you want to say here, girl.
The song said, you don't have to come to Jesus like anybody else. And that's...
Amen.
That's the whole point. You do not have to change to come to Jesus. You come to Jesus, and he puts it in you to change, and he helps you change.
Amen.
So everybody can come as they are.
Yes. Yes,
you
absolutely.
Come to Jesus like no one else. You come as you are.
Amen.
And he will accept you.
Exactly.
As you are.
That's a real good final thought, isn't it? That's really good. So Betty and Cindy. Cindy, you've now done your second show with us, and you've done just great. So,
well, thank you, ma'am.
Feeling better, huh? Betty, do you want to say anything to Cindy? You just met her on the air, Betty.
Hey, welcome aboard, sister in Christ. Glad you're here.
Thank you so much, prayer warrior. I hope we get to meet in person sometime.
You will, I'm sure. All right. God bless both of you. And so we encourage you, check out our website, bohmglobal.com, where we have hundreds of our shows there. Under radio broadcasts, you can go and find those shows and listen, especially in the middle of the night when you wake up, you know, and you can't sleep. Great idea. Also, I do a Facebook post almost every week, and it's usually live on Thursday mornings now. And around 10:30 in the morning, that's what I shoot for that. And so you can check that out, Marcia McAllister Post. Go to Beacon of Hope Ministries Post. You can find it there also. And check out our Thursday night show, Go Yard, which is our life coaching show every Thursday night at 6:06 p.m. right here on this station. And guess what? We're going to be right back here next week. So we hope you will be, and tell some friends and people about our show. We're in our 11th year. Actually, in 3 weeks, we'll be celebrating the completion of our 11th year, starting the 12th year on the air right here every Sunday afternoon. For 2 hours every week, and God has blessed the show, and we encourage you to listen and tell people about it, and we encourage you to join us next week. And, you know, our ending song I love is, it's not far to Jesus, there's no distance to him. You can run to him, his love is for you, and it is right there, so go and take it. This has been Cindy Henderson, Betty Thomas, Nan Watson, and me, Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries, bringing you Living the Good Life this week from Clearwater, Florida. Have a great week. See you next week, gang.
Close your eyes and he will lead you safely to his side. There's no